From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch the show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin has cut dental and vision health insurance for nearly 500,000 residents of his state in a move that's being denounced as cruel and vindictive. The announcement came on Monday after a judge on Friday blocked Bevin's proposal to reform his state's Medicaid plans in line with Donald Trump's desire for work requirements for the poor. Instead of dropping the plans for reform, the governor simply decided to end insurance for about 460,000 Kentuckians and called it a, quote, unfortunate consequence of the judge's ruling. Democratic State Representative Joni Jenkins criticized the governor's actions, saying, "We have folks that are showing up for dental appointments that they made months ago, and neither they nor the providers are really certain what the rules are, and that's just unacceptable for government to be operating this way." My guest is Sam Brooke, a deputy legal director with the Southern Poverty Law Center, which brought the case on behalf of Kentuckians, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Sam.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go back to what the case was all about before we examine the governor's decision and the judge's ruling. Tell us what the case was and what the basis of the suit was that SPLC brought.
Absolutely. Well, we had the privilege of bringing a case along with the National Health Law Program and the Kentucky Equal Justice Center and the law firm of Jenner and Block, challenging what's called work requirements, or community engagement, as the governor in Kentucky likes to call it, which is basically a requirement that individuals, in order to be eligible for Medicaid, must first show that they are working. And this is exactly backward for how we would normally think that Medicaid should work. The whole purpose of Medicaid is to provide access to health care so that people can become healthy and then be able to engage with their community, be able to go to work and do those other things. This flips it on its head. It somehow envisions that by requiring people to work, they will somehow automatically, magically become healthy. Of course, that's not how reality works. And so we brought a challenge to this work requirement. And we said to the federal court that this is exactly the opposite of how Medicaid was designed by Congress. This is not what Congress intended when it created this program that would provide health care coverage for the most needy, to put these additional bureaucratic hurdles in place. Mm-hmm. That process was supposed to go into effect on July 1. So we got a ruling on Friday, June 28th, from the judge blocking it, saying no, that this is impermissible, that the federal government, in approving this work requirement, or it's called a waiver request, because they were basically waiving different requirements of the Medicaid program, that it acted completely arbitrarily and capriciously, because there was no logic to explain why this would further Medicaid's objectives of expanding healthcare coverage, when in fact, even the governor himself noted that it would result in about 95,000 individuals being kicked off of healthcare coverage completely. Hmm. So Friday obviously was a very good day for us, because we got that ruling and we knew that no one would be losing their Medicaid expansion coverage. Then came Monday. And on Monday, the governor made this announcement that is completely untenable and unsupported. He said that the federal court's ruling that they couldn't impose these work requirements also meant that he had to suspend dental and vision coverage specifically, not other parts of Medicaid coverage, just dental and vision. The logic is strained at best. He's saying that this is necessary because the new process that this new plan was going to put in place to provide medical and dental was now being blocked by the courts. But of course, that ignores that they've been providing medical and dental coverage for people who are on Medicaid ever since Medicaid expansion happened, the past 3 years, and they've never had any issues up to this point. This was a pure political move. The governor has been hostile to Medicaid expansion from day one of his time in office. He doesn't want people to have easy access to health care, and he's using this order as a straw man to try to knock down some of the coverage that frankly, we all know he would like to gut entirely.
And so just to frame this, Medicaid is essentially a government-funded social safety program for those Americans who are low income. It's like Medicare, but not just for seniors, for low income Americans, for people on who are disabled and whose disability may stand in the way of them being able to earn or have a job with health insurance, etc. Often children are on, low income children are on Medicaid. So this is a class of people that essentially gets their health insurance through taxpayer funds. And Republicans like Bevin and of course Trump, for some reason, have decided that that's just not what they want to do anymore. How much of what Bevin has planned is in line with what the Trump administration had rolled out in its announcement that it wants to see work requirements for Medicaid recipients?
Absolutely. You know, the Medicaid program has been around for 50 years, and it originally was envisioned as being something just for those who were the most needy, and particular categories of individuals, so children, disabled, those who were blind. Then the Affordable Care Act came around and under the Obama administration, and it did something unique and powerful. It expanded the Medicaid program, so it would now just be an income threshold. You would no longer need to be those other categories like blind or disabled. You would just have to have income that was too low. And it also raised the income threshold to 133% of the federal poverty line. This was critical in the Affordable Care Act because it did this in order to increase the number of people who would get healthcare coverage. Because after that, the vision was you would either get healthcare coverage through Medicaid for free, or else you would get healthcare coverage through your employer, or else you would get healthcare coverage through the marketplace where you would get a subsidy from the government depending on your income to help you pay for it. Those are kind of the three scenarios to try to get at least as close as possible to universal coverage. Governor Bevin was not in office at the time. Rather, a Democratic governor was in office, and he readily expanded Medicaid in Kentucky. One of the few states to do this initially in the South, and it was wildly successful. Their marketplace had the fewest problems. No one else was having any issues. And most importantly, they saw their number of uninsured individuals drop down to like 5% from about 15 or 20%. Governor Bevin came into office and wanted to put a halt to this. And he, in following the Trump administration put out a letter to all of the state Medicaid directors saying, what we would really like to see is that you impose work requirements on everyone who's receiving Medicaid, particularly in this expansion population, these individuals who weren't getting Medicaid 10 years ago. And the rationale for that is frankly tied into racist connotations that have plagued discussions about public benefits from, you know, time immemorial, but certain back in the Clinton administration when Bill Clinton signed a welfare reform package that, again, was very focused on making people earn, as it were, public benefits, things like food stamps or things like TANF, cash assistance to families who are like at 15%.
Even though the very reason why these people needed the help was because most of them couldn't get jobs.
That's exactly right. And especially that's true for Medicaid, where Medicaid, the whole purpose was to help you get healthy so you can get jobs. And Governor Bevin was working in lockstep with the Trump administration on this. I mean, it was so patently obvious. I can't remember the exact day, but it was approximately in early January. Let's say on January 18th, they issued this so-called Dear State Colleague letter to all the Medicaid directors. And on January 19th, they approved Kentucky's waiver, the work requirement request, citing back to that letter that they had just issued a day before.
Wow.
Even though they'd been considering the Kentucky waiver request for about 6 months at that point. I mean, This was all part of a uniform strategy. And we see many other states lining up behind Kentucky's. A couple others have already been approved and are facing likely challenge very soon. You know, Alabama, where I reside, we submitted a work requirement request on Friday, the same day that the court ruled that Kentucky's was illegal and unconstitutional under the Administrative Protections Act. So this is an ongoing process. We're not done yet. What we hope, though, is that we will be able to use this precedent, this powerful opinion saying that Medicaid is about helping people to become healthy, not something to force them to be able to work, to be able to use that to stop this erosion in other states.
So, Sam, in terms of how the Kentucky debacle is developing, first of all, can the governor just on his own, using his executive power, just cancel dental and vision for 460,000 Kentuckians? Doesn't the state assembly, don't the state legislators have a say in any of this?
Well, the state legislature could overrule him. The short answer is no, but. Vision and dental is what's considered an optional category for Medicaid. States aren't required to carry it. So if they went through the correct process, they could unwind it. They could say, we, the state, no longer wish to provide these services. They have the ability to do that. But of course, there would be huge political blowback if they decided to cut, and if they took responsibility for cutting vision and dental for 500,000 individuals, including children, like they just did. But of course, what the governor is trying to say is that, oh, this wasn't my fault, it was the federal judge who forced me to do this. That's nonsense. It was 100% a political decision by him, and the political pressures can be brought to bear, including by their state legislature, to overrule him and force them to take it back. You know, we hope that they will come to their senses, and when the political backlash about this it resonates, that they will themselves do this on their own voluntarily. And we're also looking at what legal options we have. There might well be, but honestly, this is moving so quickly that we don't have an answer to that.
And as I quoted the Democratic lawmaker, I mean, people are showing up to their appointments that they made months ago, as you do when you have dental insurance, and not being sure whether they can get the treatment they need. This seems, of course, to be a very Trumpian move, a very Trump-like strategy, hit first and deal with the consequences later. Is there a fear that other Republican-controlled legislatures and governor, where Republicans control the houses and the governorships of states, will follow similar suit? First, basically, try to impose these work requirements, and when they can't get their way, just start canceling those optional insurance plans?
I don't think so, and here's why. And this is what's so interesting about the debacle that's been happening in Kentucky this week, is that states have been able to do this, the idea of cutting dental and vision. They've been able to do that forever. These have always been optional. The reason that they have not been willing to do that, even in legislatures or where they have conservative leadership that wants to be fiscally, not expending money on these things, is because they know that the political blowback of cutting out dental coverage, vision insurance, not just for adults, but also for children, for everyone in this population, would be catastrophic. And so instead, what you see here is the governor is trying to put this blame on somebody else. He's trying to do what he wants to do, cutting benefits, but he's trying to use the court as a foil to say that the court forced his hand. That, of course, is untrue, and we expect that everyone will realize that. But I think that's telling, that no other state, and even Governor Bevin, would not have done this, didn't do this 3 months ago when he had the same ability to do so. It's only now that he thinks he has a political foil that he's daring to try.
And on this issue of saving money, I mean, we should keep reminding ourselves, having insurance saves the government, saves the taxpayers money, because when people don't have insurance, if they go for too long without treating their ailments, they end up in emergency rooms, they end up costing themselves and everybody else a lot more than if they had insurance. Health insurance, having some kind of health insurance, no matter who provides it or pays for it, saves everybody money, and that's not being taken into account either.
That is exactly correct. And what's particularly striking again about Kentucky is they're 100% candid about this. Their own projections show that they are continuing to benefit financially from the Medicaid expansion, and they will continue to benefit from it in the years to come. They're actually making money because the federal government is picking up so much of the tab. In the Medicaid expansion, under the original version of Medicaid, the federal government would pay about a half to two-thirds of every dollar that was spent. The state would pick up the rest. Under the expanded Medicaid, initially the federal government was paying 100%. Now it's slowly going down. It'll eventually get down to 90% and stay there. Right now it's at about 95%. So even under Kentucky's own economic budget projections, they are benefiting because of the health increases that they're receiving, the federal money that's covering it, the jobs that are being created by having this additional work, the demand for extra dentists, the demand for extra eye doctors, and everything else. They, under their own documents that they submitted to the federal court, say that we are actually financially benefiting from this program. And yet the governor is still willing to spite people simply because of his animosity toward providing or getting as close as we can to universal coverage.
I mean, it really should be seen as animosity toward poor Kentuckians. You know, that should be the terms under which this is expressed, because essentially that's the impact of his action. Sam, give out a website for the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, you can find out much more about us at splcenter.org. Again, that's splcenter.org, where we have information about this and all of the other economic justice related issues that we're working on.
And we'll link to that from our website. Thank you so much, Sam.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your interest.
Sam Brook is Deputy Legal Director with the Southern Poverty Law Center. We've been discussing the abrupt cancellation of dental and vision coverage through Medicaid of 460,000 Kentuckians by Governor Matt Bevin. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.